Today on More to Life, stop worrying, start living. Are fear and worry stealing your joy? We'll help you find grace-filled ways to kick anxiety to the curb and learn to live in peace. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, stop worrying and start living. Okay, sign me up. I'm all for it, right?
Oh, we all need that.
But the reality is fear and worry often do steal our joy. We want to help you find grace-filled ways to kick anxiety to the curb and learn to live in peace. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Let's do some stress busting today on More to Life.
You know, I want to speak to the fact that we all have some sense of worry, of concern, of even fear. And often it's ratcheted up by what's wrong with me? Why do I feel this way? I was so blessed one day when we were visiting with a great man. A lot of you know him, Mike Aquilina. And this was a long time ago. He was talking to our son, and our son was asking him all these like theological questions. I don't remember exactly how he presented this one. But basically, Mike's answer really stayed with me because it was about death and things like that. And Mike said, look, the reason we grieve, I think what Jacob was asking at that young age was, you know, if we should be so grateful and happy that people go to heaven, why are we so sad when people die? And then it was kind of brought out from there, like, why do we feel anxious? Why do we feel fear? And he said, look, we weren't created for any of that. We weren't created for death, for a separation of our body and our soul. We weren't created to worry. But the fall came along and took everything and turned it upside down and sideways. And that's why even though Christ has redeemed us and Christ gives us His grace, we're still kind of left with the fallout, if you will, of the fall happening. And so what I'm saying is, while being worried, fearful, having some anxiety kind of can come with the human experience of, you know, Adam and Eve messing everything up for us, we can still tap into the grace of Christ, draw closer to God in our relationship with Him, and use skills that He is teaching us more and more every day to work against the effects of all of that stuff in our lives. So that each moment of every day, as we work with God and the skills He gives us and the supports He gives us, we can be taking steps toward the kingdom of God and setting things right in our little corner of the life that He's given us, so that we can have less fear, less worry, less anxiety, and more peace, more joy, more order in our lives. It's part of the redemptive process that Christ is giving you. So, if that sounds like something you want to tap into today or help somebody else tap into today, we're here for you on More to Life at 877-573-7825.
Give us a call and tell us, are you worried about a particular challenge you're facing in your life or relationships? Maybe there's a specific problem that keeps you up at night or sits on your chest when you wake up in the morning. Maybe you feel anxious because you don't know what to do about something that's bothering you, or you're not sure what God wants you to do about it and not sure how to figure that out. Or maybe you're anxious for the people that you care about. That child, whether that's a younger or adult child, that spouse who's going through something, that family member, or just nervous about the state of the world. Or for that matter, maybe someone you care about is worried or anxious and you're not sure how to support them. However worry, anxiety, stress is impacting your life or those you love, we want to help you find grace-filled ways to reclaim the peace of Christ. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, well, you know, how could that possibly help me deal with anxiety? Well, I'm glad you asked. So when St. John Paul was Pope, he asked a huge question and then spent 5 years unpacking it in his Wednesday audiences. He basically said, if we looked at everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation, history, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became the theology of the body.
And Pope John Paul II was constantly calling the faithful to be not afraid. You know, when he would say that at something like a World Youth Day, the shouts and the cheers that would go up because of the joy that it brought. Why was that message important to him? Because the theology of the body tells us that we were made for love. And as Scripture teaches, perfect love casts out all fear. Here's the fascinating part. Brain science actually confirms this. Anxiety doesn't actually come from the problems we face. It arises with those challenges that make us feel disconnected from God, from others in our lives, and even from our best selves. When we feel connected to our supports, our brains release calming chemicals that help us feel peaceful, even in the middle of difficulties. But when we feel isolated, our brains go into high alert, pumping stress hormones into our bodies that heighten fear and worry, so that we'll be ready to protect ourselves since we're all on our own.
Well, that's right. So, but as the theology of the body reminds us, biology is theology. And one of the most important things we need to understand is that anxiety is our body's way of saying that we feel alone. It's the nudge of the Holy Spirit saying, get support, reconnect with me, connect with the people who love you. Let me help you rediscover your best self. So, what does that look like in practice? Well, first, it's important to take regular breaks throughout the day to invite God's presence into this moment. You know, ask him to teach us how he wants us to respond to the challenge that's in front of us. Then, you know, look for opportunities to reach out to friends, family members, mentors, people that you can talk to regularly and honestly about your feelings and about your needs. And work to stay connected with your best self by doing things like journaling, reflecting on the strength that God's given you and the times that God has gotten you through difficulties in the past, or just simply to pause and appreciate the life and the gifts and blessings that you're being given now. You know, when we nurture those connections to God, to the people who love us, to even our best selves, it makes it hard for anxiety to hold on to its grip out of our hearts. Because we remember that we're loved, that we're not alone, and that, as St. John Paul reminds us, there is no need to be afraid. But with that, we are taking your calls about fear, worry, and anxiety today on More to Life, 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. We're talking about fear, worry, and anxiety. So give us a call. If there's something that's weighing heavily on your heart, stealing your joy, and making you feel stressed, worried, or anxious, we're here to help. With that, let's take our concerns to the Lord, then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, We come into your presence and we thank you for the opportunity to bring our fears and worries and anxieties to you. Help us to remember that your servant St. John Paul reminded us that anxiety isn't caused by the problems we're going through, but it's caused by allowing those problems to separate us from you, from the people you've placed in our lives to love us, and even from our own best selves. And help us to see anxiety as that call to communion, that reminder that we are alone but aren't meant to be alone. And help us to find ways to take steps to reconnect with you, to reconnect with those we love, to reconnect with our best selves, so that we can experience your grace and presence leading and guiding us through those worrisome moments, those stressful situations, so that we can encounter the peace that this world can't give and walk with you through all things. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, stop worrying and start living. Are fear, worry, or anxiety stealing your joy? Is someone you care about anxious or worried, and you're not sure how to support them? Let's figure out some grace-filled ways to kick anxiety to the curb and learn to live in Christ's peace. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Fred, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Fred. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning. I have a wife that's very, very scrupulous, and she is often very worried about whether or not there's predestination and that she's not going to heaven. So how can I help her so she's not so worried?
So Fred, are you and your wife Catholic or Calvinist?
Well, yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yes, you're Catholic? Okay, because the reason I ask you, because predestination is not a Catholic belief, it's a Calvinist belief, which is behind Presbyterianism or Reformed Church. And so, just as a matter of doctrine, as Catholics, we don't believe in that. We believe that Christ gives us grace and salvation as a free and unmerited gift, and we participate in that grace by inviting Christ into our hearts and learning to love him as he loves us.
So we are all created to be one with God. We are all created to live in eternity with God
and in
forever.
That sense, we're predestined all,
right,
for heaven.
To our heaven, right? That's the predestination. We were both created to be one with God and redeemed by the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice on the cross for us. Now, we get to choose. God gives us complete free will. We get to choose whether we want to live moment by moment, daily, our lives with God, working for that heavenly reconnection with him, or whether we want to say no. So we're not predestined for hell. Like, oh, there's nothing you can do to redeem yourself. You were just picked to, you know, be on the short list to go to hell. That's not what Catholics believe at all. We believe that we need to cooperate with the grace of God and the salvation that he's given us through the cross and resurrection to work to get to heaven, which is what we are created for.
So it is God's intention that all of us be united with him in heaven. That is his intention.
Why he came down and died for us and rose again for us.
So he gives us that opportunity as a free and unmerited gift. That's the doctrinal answer. Now, there's a psychological obstacle that's getting in the way here. You know, when you say that your wife is very scrupulous, that often points to a kind of spiritual disorder that can be indicative of obsessive-compulsive disorder. You know, when we hear about OCD, we typically think about people who, for example, compulsively wash their hands or compulsively check the stove or check to make sure the door is locked. And those are certainly symptoms of some types of OCD. But there's also a type of OCD that focuses on spiritual contamination, the fear that I haven't confessed my sins properly or said my prayers correctly or that I'm not doing the things that would earn God's love. And those are all what we call cognitive distortions. They're all lies that Satan whispers in our spiritual ear that that separate us from God's love and from God's mercy and from God's grace. And, you know, great saints suffered from scrupulosity, St. Ignatius of Loyola, St. Alphonsus Liguori, and there are spiritual exercises, you know, if we can find online, that from these saints that help them overcome scrupulosity. But I would suggest to you that this is also something that really requires some pastoral counseling to learn some tools with. Because with scrupulosity, it often indicates that we can get a brain cramp. You know how you can get a leg cramp? Well, sometimes we can get pinched nerves in the part of our brain that's responsible for those guilty feelings. And I mean that literally. You can actually watch this happen on a functional MRI scan, for example, where the part of the brain that's responsible for causing that sinking feeling in the gut that something's wrong, it's called the right caudate nucleus, you can get a pinched nerve in it. And as long as that pinched nerve is happening in that part of the brain, you feel like, oh my gosh, there's something terrible happening. And so then your emotional brain and your thinking brain get into a war with each other. You know, the emotional brain is like, there's a problem here. There's something wrong. I've done something wrong. I can just feel it. And the thinking brain is like, I'm not seeing it. Everything looks fine. But the emotional brain is like, no, really, there is something. There is. And it goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And the brain hates to be in an argument with itself. So eventually what it does is it just sort of invents a solution that will get the lower brain to shut up. It just says, you know what, if you just say the Our Father 100 times, you'll be fine. And it just makes up these obsessive behaviors as a way of trying to resolve that internal tension. And that's what scrupulosity, especially if it's played out as OCD, looks like. And so that can require both psychological help and sometimes medication, as well as, you know, doing those spiritual exercises that help us connect with God's love. So, Fred, when you say, how can you help your wife be less scrupulous and less afraid that she's, quote-unquote, predestined to hell, I think it's important to encourage her to seek appropriate professional help. And this is something that we actually deal a lot with in CatholicCounselors.com, because the reality is, you know, the most common treatment for obsessive compulsive disorder is called exposure and prevention therapy, where you know, say if you're afraid of germs, for example, you might have the client, you know, put dirt on their hands, and then they learn to breathe through that and relax through it. You can't send a client out to go sin and tell them to relax through it. So we do have other strategies that can teach a person who is struggling with scrupulosity to relax through that, re-encounter God's love and mercy, and really start to let go of that fear. So I would encourage you to encourage your wife to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can really walk her through that process. I'm also going to turn you on to a book by Jeffrey Schwartz called Brain Lock, which outlines the basic framework that we use in addressing this kind of spiritual OCD. So, Fred, I want to thank you for your call. I hope that these both the doctrinal and practical points can help your wife through this. I encourage you to download the More to Life podcast and play it for her later on today and talk through it together and really pray about what God might be calling her to really free herself from this kind of anxiety, because God loves you and God loves your wife. And if anything, we're predestined for heaven. That's God's intention for us, that we be in heaven with him forever.
It's this constant loving invitation. He loves us so much. He gave everything for us. And he's just saying, come on, come be with me. Come live the way I'm telling you to live, so that you can draw closer to me, so you can hear my Holy Spirit, so we can be one forever. That's his intention.
And we don't have to earn that. We just have to receive it.
He earned it for us.
We have to receive it. Fred, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on More to Life or through CatholicCounselors.com. And folks, we're taking your calls today on our show titled Stop Worrying, Start Living. And if fear or worry or anxiety are stealing your joy for whatever reason, or if you're struggling to support someone you care about who's worried and anxious, we want to help you kick anxiety to the curb and learn to live in peace. 877-573-7825. When we come back, we'll be taking more of your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Anastasia Northrup of the National Catholic Singles Conference, who'll be sharing some insights from the theology of the body on overcoming anxiety. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. you may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Stop Worrying, Start Living, as we talk about the ways that fear, worry, and anxiety steal our joy, and more importantly, how to find grace-filled ways to reclaim the peace of Christ. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Anastasia Northrup. She is the founder and director of the National Catholic Singles Conference, which is actually going on this weekend in Denver, Colorado. Anastasia.
It's not too late to get there or sign up either.
Anastasia, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you so much. Great to be here with you.
So, you know, obviously singles are no stranger to anxiety, and you know, I imagine you encounter that kind of anxiety in your ministry to singles. What kinds of things do you encourage singles to hold on to in the face of that stress, worry, and anxiety?
Sure, yeah. Well, even, I mean, little things like the fact that, wow, you're single and you didn't expect to be single and your family's asking, oh, so, you know, what's going on?
Mm.
That can cause anxiety. Or just the fact that we're not in a, you know, people that want to get married but aren't yet, right? You're not in a committed vocation of marriage that, or the celibate vocation that's already has its own direction, right? You know that this vocation determines the rest of your decisions, right? And so that can cause anxiety, living alone. There's all sorts of things that can cause anxiety being a single. And even, hey, we have the conference this weekend. Some people are anxious about, oh, going to a singles conference, you know? Like, I don't know if I want to do that. No, I think what it is like letting go and letting God work, right? Because if we surrender to Him and say, look, Lord, I have all of these things that are causing me stress because I'm, you know, worry or fear. You know, fear of the future, if I don't meet somebody, you know, whether it be the conference or somewhere else, right? Just, you know, the conference isn't a matchmaking thing, right? But it's more a retreat for singles with, you know, social activities. So, and then you can be with people that, and be encouraged in your faith and things. So like all of these things can cause us fear, but look, if we're going to live our life, we only have the present moment, right? So we have to be living that fruitfully, whether we're single or married, you know, or in a celibate vocation. So I think that's what people need to focus on.
And Anastasia, you know, as we shared earlier in our Theology of the Body reflection, that both the Theology of the Body points to this and brain science points to the fact that anxiety isn't really caused by the problems that we're facing. It's caused by letting the problems we're facing separate us from God, from the love and support of others, even from our own best selves. And it's to fight back against that anxiety, we need to reach out to God, to reach out to others. And in fact, that's what you're doing this weekend with the National Catholic Singles Conference in Denver. How can people learn more about that conference, and can they participate even online?
Oh, yes. Yeah, so their website is nationalcatholicsingles.com, and there are people already arriving in Colorado, and hey, if you can grab a last-minute flight or drive, you know, definitely come. Otherwise, we do have a virtual participation option, and you'll get to not only live stream the speakers, but then we also have a whole team of virtual people, real people that are leading, like
participating virtually,
exactly, and you actually get to meet other people and have discussions, and we even have a prayer service, you know, prayer time online too. So it is a great option if you cannot make the trip to Colorado and still build community, meet other people, be encouraged, not feel like you're alone. You know, and if you do have worries and anxiety and fear, you know, hey, other people sometimes do too. So it helps to be, you know, share with other people, and that can help you overcome it too.
Well, Anastasia, thanks so much for being with us. And if folks would like to learn more about the National Catholic Singles Conference, you can go to nationalcatholicsingles.com. Again, that's nationalcatholicsingles.com. The conference itself is happening in Denver, Colorado this weekend, August 22nd through the 24th. But you can also participate online virtually if you're not able to attend in person. So check it out, nationalcatholicsingles.com. And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Tell us, are you worried? Maybe about a particular challenge you're facing in your life or relationships. Maybe there's a specific problem that keeps you up at night or kind of sits on your chest when you wake up in the morning. We've all had that experience. Maybe you feel anxious because you don't know what to do about something that's bothering you, or you aren't sure what God wants you to do about it. Maybe you're anxious for the people you care about, the state of the world. Or maybe somebody that you care about is worried and anxious, and you're just not sure how to support them. Whether that's your younger or adult kid, your spouse who's going through something, a family member or a friend you care about. Whatever the situation is, however worry and anxiety are impacting your life, let us help you find grace-filled ways to reclaim the peace of Christ. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Back after this.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
What responsibility does social media bear in promoting the truth? The Catholic Catechism notes that in our modern society, the communications media plays a major role in societal information, cultural promotion, and formation. Since society has a right to information that is based on truth, justice, freedom, and solidarity, every segment of the communications culture bears a heavy responsibility for the common good. Media content within the bounds of justice and charity must be true and complete and communicated honestly and properly. The Catechism cautions us to be vigilant rather than passive consumers of information in order to resist unwholesome influences. Journalists are urged to respect the facts while still observing charity by not stooping to defamation of individuals. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Do you feel held back by your inner critic? That little voice whispering, I can't, or I'm not good enough. The spiritual master and doctor of the church, St. Ignatius of Loyola, realized that these disheartening thoughts, which he called desolations, are not from God, especially when they tempt us from becoming who God wants us to be. Consolations, on the other hand, come from the Holy Spirit. These positive thoughts encourage us to trust in God's plan for us. If we want to follow God's plan, we need to quell that inner critic and listen instead to the consoling voice of the Holy Spirit. Here's a practice that can help. First, every day, write down your successes. Did you make someone smile? Did you exercise despite feeling low? Write it down. Next, write down the strengths or virtues behind those successes. The kindness that brought out that smile, for instance, or the persistence that helped you exercise. Finally, turn your virtues into daily I am statements. I am kind, or I am persistent. Doing so will remind you that your identity flows from the gifts of God's grace, not that inner critic. For one-on-one support on your spiritual journey, visit CatholicCounselors.com. Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled, Stop Worrying, Start Living. All right, sign me up. I'm all for that. Well, look, the fact is, we all struggle with fear, worry, and anxiety to one degree or another. And if you are worried about something, or just feeling anxious in general, or you love somebody who's struggling with fear, worry, or anxiety, and not sure how to support them, we are here for you today. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Mike in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Mike, welcome to More to Life. What's your question for us, sir?
I'm probably going to have to call my wife. I'm probably not going to be able to talk for about a minute or two. I'm having trouble. My wife has a terminal illness, and I've been unfaithful, and I've been married for 34 years, and I've been unfaithful, and we're about to lose her right now. I mean, as far as being with her, she doesn't want to be with me anymore. And I just, she's grounded in Jesus Christ, but I thought I was, but anyway, I've got to go.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll answer you as best we can with what we have, Mike. Hopefully you can listen, but if you can't listen right now, you can listen on the podcast later on for the answer.
I'm very sorry to hear about your wife's terminal illness, and I understand that you're saying that she doesn't want to be with you right now, and that you're struggling with a lot of guilt and wondering how you can make this right, if there's any way to make this right. I don't know if there's a way to make this right with your wife, but I think that regardless, God is calling you to healing through this. And the first step, I don't know if you've gone to confession for the lies and for the infidelity, but you want to start there to receive the grace for the healing journey here. What people don't appreciate about infidelity, it's not caused by marital problems so much as it's caused by, usually, the person who cheats, it really struggles with being honest about feelings, with being honest about needs, and being able to deal with conflict effectively. And I don't feel safe with tension, right? And because of that, I lie. And if I repress my needs or my feelings enough, then I get depressed. But then I find somebody who makes me feel better at work or the gym or even church or wherever, and I start using that person as a way of self-medicating for the depression that I've received because I've learned to repress my needs and repress my feelings and repress conflict. And so healing an affair doesn't just mean stopping the affair and working on the relationship with your spouse. It means doing some deeper character work to help you be able to overcome that fear of sharing your feelings, of being vulnerable, of being honest, of dealing with conflict and even tension in relationship. Because the fact is, relationships always involve some degree of tension or conflict because we are learning how to love each other and how to work together. And sometimes that causes more or less tension, but there's always something there. And we have to learn to be comfortable with that. And so doing the work, first of all, as I said, by going to confession, but then secondly, you cooperating with the grace of confession to go get some professional help, to learn how to develop those skills. And I'm so sorry that you're going through this and losing your wife to this terminal illness at the same time. But I even though your wife is hurt and angry and doesn't want to be with you right now, when she passes, I believe that she will be praying for you in heaven and wanting your healing. Because even though she's hurt and angry, even when we're hurt and angry with somebody, we still want them to be healed. We still want them to own.
That's what we want with all our hearts. We just wish they would heal in our presence, in our life, but she's still going to be praying for you afterwards.
If you are, if she does, you said she doesn't want you to be around her, and if you are able to be in her presence, I would ask you to ask her to forgive you, to tell her how sorry you are, and to ask her to pray for you. But that and to promise that you're going to do the work that you weren't able to do while she was still alive, to heal your heart and to cooperate with God's grace to be the man that she deserved and that God is calling you to be. Mike, thank you so much for the call. We would love to help you in that journey. If you'd like to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, we'd be happy to walk with you and help you find faithful ways to respond to these deeper wounds so that you can heal. Thank you so much for the call. 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Stop Worrying, Start Living. Are you worried about a particular challenge you're facing in your life or relationships? Maybe there's a specific issue that you're not quite sure how to respond to, or your efforts to respond to it have not borne the fruit you were hoping it would. Or maybe somebody you care about is dealing with anxiety. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Alex, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Alex, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi there. My wife, I'm fully invested. I'm converting to Catholicism. I feel that it's the truth, and I'm following it full bore.
And are you converting from another Christian faith, or you weren't religious at all?
I went through a journey where I was raised in the Church of Christ, I guess, or.
All right, so not really attached to any church in particular, but you're coming into the Catholic Church now, and you were telling our screener that your wife is having some reservations about your conversion. What's that about? Tell us more about that.
Yeah, I just we love each other still, and our relationship is pretty strong still, and I'm thankful for that part, but I just cannot seem to get her to see it how I see it. I can't seem to, like, there's like a wall there.
Okay. Do you guys pray together at all right now?
No. Like, I pray for her every day, but
is she willing to pray with you at all, or is that something that she struggles with altogether?
We started a while back, we would try to pray the rosary together, and it lasted for a while, but then she couldn't.
Well, so let me just say this about the rosary. Rosary is a beautiful prayer, and we should all pray it, but it's a meditative prayer that takes our prayer life deeper, and it really requires us to understand a lot more than your wife is in a position to understand it, because she's not Catholic and doesn't really understand what you're doing with the rosary. So the rosary invites us to reflect more deeply on the life of Christ, reflect more deeply on our Catholic faith, reflect more deeply on kind of all the mysteries, literally, of our Catholic faith. And so that might be a step too far for her. What I'm talking about, Alex, is praying with her from your heart and saying, each of you, saying, Lord, first of all, help me be the husband that you want me to be. You're calling me to be a faithful Catholic man. Give me the grace to be the husband that I've never had the courage to be for my wife. Help me to love her the way I know you love her. Help me, as I receive this grace of the sacraments, to show her how much she means to me. And when I know, and I'm praying this, like, and you could certainly pray that on your own, but I want you to pray that with her. I want you every day to sit down with her and say, okay, Lord, teach us to have the marriage that you want us to have. You know, and as you're showing me how much you love me, help me to show my wife how much you love her by being the husband that I didn't used to have the courage to be, by loving her more than I love my comfort zone. You know, and as you're praying, you know, you might say, you know, and Lord, lead us in this journey. You know, you're leading me toward the faith, and she's not in the same place. You know, help us to figure out what you want for our marriage. And really be praying about that together that way, from your hearts, talking to God. You know, getting to know him. The formal prayers of the church are beautiful and important, and we all should pray them. But they assume a conversational relationship with God. They assume a personal relationship with God. Pope Leo has talked a lot about the importance of cultivating a personal relationship with Christ. And a lot of times, you know, Catholics kind of think, oh, well, that sounds very Protestant. That's not Protestant. that's OG Catholic.
That's right.
Because there's nothing more personal than the Eucharist. You know, Jesus Christ gives us his body, blood, soul, and divinity because he wants a personal relationship with us. And so it all begins by talking to God from our hearts. And then the formal prayers of the church show us how to take that deeper by praying about things that would never occur to us to pray for, like, you know, a happy death, or the intentions of the Pope, or the mysteries of the life of Christ. Or
praying into those mysteries and really getting closer to him and realizing what he's done for us, what Mary models for us, all of those things is so beautiful and so much deepening of our faith. But first we have to understand that. And I think by trying to pray the rosary with your wife, she might have not only not understood it, but felt pushed by your conversion process and put off by it. So really coming to her and saying, look, we share a faith in God. Let's turn to him together. I want our marriage to be the best. I want the best for you. I want us to both be close to God in the way he's calling each of us to. I love you, and I want to show you that in a spiritual way.
The second thing, and I've alluded to this in the way I've suggested praying together, but as Catholics, we can sometimes forget the real point of becoming Catholic, right? We think that becoming Catholic is about certain pious practices or certain doctrines, but we forget that those pious practices and doctrines exist for a deeper reason. They exist to teach us how to love. None of us know how to love the way God wants us to. And so God gave us the sacraments. God gave us the teachings of the church. He gives us the grace to learn how to love as he commands us to love. As Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. That is the great commandment. The whole church exists to serve that commandment. And so if you are becoming Catholic, it doesn't just mean that you're going to Mass and that you're saying certain prayers or you're believing certain things. It means that you are committing to the process of learning to love, especially your wife, the way God wants you to. Not with your broken human love, but with the love that comes from God's own heart. And so we receive the sacraments and we believe the teachings and we do the practices, all because that's helping to till the soil of our hearts for God to plant those seeds of love. So you want to be prayerfully reflecting, how can I be the husband that I never had the courage to be before? You know, all the things that my wife has asked me to do over the course of our marriage that I've said no to because I was too afraid. I was too in love with my own comfort as opposed to loving her. How can I start cooperating with the grace to do those things? How can I really be the husband that God wants me to be to her so that when she looks at me, she knows that God loves her because he gave her this man? That's how you're going to evangelize your wife. Not by talking about doctrine, not by insisting that she do certain Catholic practices, but by showing her the fruit of your conversion in the way that you love her and the way that you're becoming a man that she never even believed could happen. You know, a man that she can look to and admire and respect on levels that she never even thought were possible before. That's what God is calling you to. That's what your marriage is asking of you at this point. And I hope, Alex, that you're able to kind of respond to that. If you're looking for ways to make that happen for you, so first of all, our book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, will really walk through how to pray the way we're talking about here. But I'd also like you to check out a copy of For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, which really talks about this Catholic vision of marriage and how you can cooperate with the graces that you're receiving by coming into full communion with the church to learn how to love the way God wants you to, because that's the point of all of it. Learning how to live out the great commandment. Alex, thank you so much for your call, and if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us at catholiccounselors.com. With that, we have to go to break, but it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30.
Come to me, all who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
I chose this verse today because it really echoes the reflection that we gave at the top of the show, that anxiety doesn't come from the problems that we face. Both theology and brain science agree on that. It comes from feeling disconnected. The more disconnected we feel, the more anxious we'll be, even when there aren't problems around. And so Jesus is reminding us of that by saying, look, when you're feeling anxious, come to me, and I will show you how to experience peace, even in the middle of the work that has to be done. Jesus doesn't say, I'm going to take the yoke away from you. He said, take my yoke upon you. There's still work to do. There's still problems to be resolved. But he's saying we can do that work without anxiety. We can solve those problems without being worried. Let me show you how to do that. And that's what this verse is. If we connect with God, if we connect with the people that God places in our lives to love us and support us, if we ask God to show us how to connect with our best selves, we stop allowing problems to separate us from God's love. And then we stop feeling anxious. We are taking your calls about fear, worry, and anxiety today on More to Life. Give us a holler at 877-573-7825. And we'll be back with your calls coming up after this.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Want to celebrate some amazing anniversaries this year in France? We'll visit Normandy Beach to celebrate our heroic military for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Also, the 100th anniversary of the canonization of St. Teresa of Lisieux. Join us this October for our Saints and Shrines of France and a visit to the newly renovated Notre Dame Cathedral.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
He was a doctor of the church and one of the most famous saints of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Augustine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, but he balanced his genius with humility. Once declared, it was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels. He died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Today's show is titled Stop Worrying and Start Living, as we talk about the challenge of facing fear, worry, and anxiety in our lives, and how do we reclaim the peace of Christ in the middle of all those things that cause us fear, worry, and anxiety? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Maureen, who's listening to EWTN Radio in North Carolina.
Maureen, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hello. I was calling because I have a 23-year-old son who's adopted from Russia, and he has addiction issues and high anxiety, attachment disorder. And I tried extremely hard. You know, it's very difficult, and as you know, in relationships with your spouse and your family members, it's very separating. And my husband and I are both strong Christians, and we pray all the time for him, but it's very difficult not to have fear and anxiety when addicted people lie all the time. You never know
what kind of relationship do you have with your son. How often do you see him? What kind of contact do you have?
Okay, so we talk. He talks mostly to my husband because I'm sort of the accountability person, and there, you know, there was some violence at one point in time. So I do try to stay away from his moods. We are extremely supportive of him, probably more than we really should have been, almost to the point of enabling. But we're at the point right now where we've just really hit the wall, and he's walked off
two
jobs.
And just so I know, just for the sake of, because we're about 6 minutes before we have to go. So
what
are you getting any kind of support for knowing how to deal with him on an ongoing basis here? Or are you just trying to sort this out for yourselves?
Mostly, you know, we attend church. We do a lot of work in the community to try to help out others with addiction issues, and you know, usually by helping others, you help yourself. And
well, yeah, but this is a particularly challenging situation that you need special skills for. You know, nobody comes into the world ready to handle things like attachment disorder or addictions or all the kinds of things that you're describing. That's going to require ongoing support, and the best way that you could support your son right now, especially with the you know, strained relationship and some degree of estrangement that you have, is by seeking help for you and your husband to learn how to deal with him more effectively. You know, you said that you've been supportive to him almost to the point sometimes of enabling him. You know, that's a very common temptation. You know, we want to support our adult kids. We don't want them to fail. But sometimes we don't know where to draw the lines. And so sometimes our help can be unhelpful and actually cause bigger problems. And so, and it's hard to know that, right? Because under normal circumstances, you want to help your kids. Under normal circumstances, the help we give our kids is good. But when you're dealing with an adult kid who has addiction problems and also attachment issues, you have to learn to help in a different way. And you have to learn where to set the limits and what to take, too. You know, sometimes, for example, keeping a distance might be necessary, but other times it actually contributes to the problem. And so in order to be able to sort that all out, I think it's really important for you to be seeking good, faithful, professional help. And if there's somebody that you trust locally, I'd really encourage you to connect with them. If not, then by all means, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But, you know, your question to our screener was, you know, how can you help him get better? It starts by you and your husband being able to present a really unified, healthy front and having the tools that know how to respond well to whatever he's giving you right now. You know, in the times where he's being a little bit healthier, how do you support that? In the times where he's falling apart, how do you both set boundaries so that you don't get sucked into the drama, but also point him toward a healthier way? You know, what are things that you need to avoid? What are things you need to do? So all that stuff, that's hard to sort out for yourself. I mean, I'm glad that you're praying, and I'm glad that you're involved in helping other people with this. But, you know, when people tell me about that, you know, I always remind them, when we pray, when we receive the sacraments, God is filling up our tank, so to speak. If we're a car, we fill up the tank with grace. But if we got a flat tire or there's something wrong with the engine, we still aren't going far. And that's where the skills come in. You know, getting those skills help you to inflate those tires and make sure the engine's running right so that you can cooperate with the grace fully. And you're doing a lot of good things. I'm not taking anything away from the good stuff you're doing. I want you to keep praying. I want you to keep being involved in helping other people, because you're right. You know, in helping others, we do help ourselves. But that doesn't give us new skills. And you definitely need those new skills to deal with this extraordinary situation that your son is going through.
That will bless you. That will bless your son. And in the long run, the work that you're doing for others, those people will be blessed by the skills you learn and the support you get from people who understand this situation, especially with a complex background that your son came into the situation with.
And I'm not suggesting that you would say this, but sometimes whenever I present this to parents, they'll say, well, why should I get the counseling? I'm not the one with the problem. Well, no, you're not the one with, quote-unquote, the problem of the addiction. But you are dealing with the problem of how to support a loved one who's addicted. And that is an extraordinary situation that requires extraordinary skills.
And it doesn't just require addiction skills. It requires the skills from other people who can help you, who know the trauma that your son has gone through and the mark that is left on him that is then, you know, furthering the addiction issues.
And we completely understand, you know, the whole attachment thing. We're adoptive parents ourselves. We understand.
So are several of our counselors.
So this is something that we deal with, personal level as well as professionally. So if there's more we can do to support you as they're playing us out here, don't hesitate to reach out at CatholicCounselors.com. Maureen, thank you so much for the call. We've added your son and your whole family to our More to Life prayer list. And if there's more we can do to support you moving forward, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. And folks, if you are looking for ways to overcome fear, worry, and anxiety, you can check out my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, which is available at CatholicCounselors.com. If you'd like more personalized support, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you reclaim your peace in Christ. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.